still waiting on one, or you got them all? Okay, so it gives me great pleasure to introduce our main speaker, Evelyn from Santa Maria.
Hi everybody, my name's Evelyn and I am an alcoholic. Whew, I'm nervous. Okay, my sobriety date is March 28th, 2011. And I'm gonna start off with how it was like and then I'll continue from there. This is my second time speaking, so bear with me. Okay, So when I was young, growing up, I know my mom had problems with my dad. Because my dad was an alcoholic. Of course, that's not my job to say, but I know my mom left him for that, and he did things to me that a father shouldn't do to a daughter, and so that's that, right? And I'm very nervous right now. Sorry. Okay, I'm just going to talk like I was sharing. When I first came into these rooms, I came because I wanted to get my kids back. I got my kids taken in 2008. And I thought that, you know, doing the program and doing recovery home was going to get my kids back, but it didn't. I tried it for a year and I ended up giving up. I ended up giving my kids away. I had four kids and I gave them up to the system because I didn't ask for help. I didn't ask for help and I didn't accept the help. I thought I can do this on my own, and my pride wouldn't allow me to ask for the help. And so I told my attorney the last time I went to go see him. I was already loaded. I was already, like, I was already getting loaded, you know? Like, I was already hanging around the wrong people, wrong places, everything, you know? Like, and I told my attorney, you know, I don't know what to do. And he just looked at me and he said, you know, basically told me the kids are better off where they're at because with you, there's nothing. You know, I was already on the streets. I was already running amok. And so from there, from 2009 up to 2010, I was already running the streets, trying on a suicide mission because I was miserable, you know, because I couldn't do it. So, you know, like growing up, I wasn't that one person that, like, I didn't do drugs, but like at an early age. I mean, I didn't drink at an early age. Drugs is a part of my story. And as a young person, you know, I saw all my friends drinking and doing all this other stuff, and none of that caught my interest. My thing was escaping reality. You know, the first time I ever ditched to go to a party, you know, everybody was getting drunk and doing all these other things, and I was just like really not into it, you know. But the fact that I was able to get away with ditching got my attention. So what I would do instead of going out and partying, I would skip school and stay at home and escape reality. You know, like I would escape reality. I would go to this fantasy island and I would pretend that I was like living this happy life because growing up, you know, I went through through molestation, you know, not only from my father, but from other men that, you know, because my mom had always run out the room because she couldn't support us, you know. So she always had to rent a room out, and somebody, like, would always be doing something. And I allowed it, you know what I mean? Because I could open my mouth, but I allowed it, and I didn't say nothing. And in a way, you know, like, any little attention, you know, like, and I felt that that was okay. So that's why I allowed it, because I was just wanting that attention. I was trying to fill that void, and that's why I allowed it. And so, but when things started getting a little bit too far, you know, I would hide, and that's when I would try to escape reality. And that's why, like I said, I wasn't really into alcohol and all that stuff. And then once I got older, I would get into relationships, right? And I knew how to pick them, right? I would get into abusive relationship, and I had my kids, and I thought my kids were gonna make me happy, right? But that wasn't enough. And so here I am, and my mom tried to help me get away from this abusive relationship, and there I go get it, go have more kids, thinking that having more kids is gonna make me happy. So here I am growing up, thinking that I'm trying to fill my this void that I have inside me with men, with my kids, you know, with things, and it wasn't enough, because once I got out of those relationships, you know, like, I finally did get in a relationship with a man that wanted to see me progress in my life, wanted to see me be happy and do something with my life. And what did I do with that guy? I freaking tossed him to the side, you know? And I don't know, you know, like, I didn't know how to work for the things in my life. I wanted things handed to me, and I wanted things to make me happy. And that's why when I came to these rooms, I couldn't relate to nobody, because I wasn't into alcohol yet. You know, I was that one sober person that, you know, you called when you were drunk, and I was like, oh, can you pick me up? Yeah, I'll be there. You know, but that right there, you know, made me feel good right there. Knowing that I can be there for you, you know, like, I always made myself available to anybody and everything. I would drop everything. So that's how I grew up, you know. But the minute that I was introduced, you know, to drugs, you know, and mixing it with alcohol, it was on. Like, it was on. Like, here I am, I have my job, my home, and my kids, and like I said, that wasn't enough. And then the minute I was drinking and doing all these other things, it was on, and I couldn't stop. And when I found out I was pregnant with my fourth kid, you know, like, I got in this relationship with this person, and I tried to stop, but I couldn't. And this person was very abusive and very scary. And I thought, you know, like, I don't know. I know God was helping me, because this person got locked up, and I ended up getting sober and having this baby. But what did I end up doing after I have this baby? I started drinking again. And I started hanging around with the wrong people. And then I started doing everything else again. And the minute I started doing that, a month later, I get involved with this person. He gets released. And then I'm back at it again. I'm back at it again. And then I get my kids taken away. I get the kids taken away. And I don't know what to do. They start telling me what to do. So that's when I went into the program, right? And then I, like I said, I tried doing it for them, and I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. And then I tried it for a year. I gave up. I went back out, went on a suicide mission for 2 years, and I didn't know. I just didn't know. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it anymore. I got so tired. I just wanted it to end, and I just didn't know how. I didn't have the courage to end it myself, and I just wanted it to be over with. You guys had already planted the seed in my head, and I was just like, if only I can get it like they did. And I was just like, God, I'm tired, you know, like, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't want to continue like that anymore. And then I get busted. So be careful what you pray for, because I get busted and I go back into jail. And then I'm just like, I get released, and the judge tells me, you know, find a program. And so I'm like, dude, what program am I going to do? I have no money and nothing, you know. I have the no good record. Nobody's going to hire me. So I'm just like, what do I do, you know? And I'm at the same time just telling God, you know, like, give me some sign. Give me some sign that I'm worthy, that I don't want to be alone anymore, you know. Like, this loneliness, I can't bear it anymore. Give me something, you know. And then I find out I'm pregnant. So when I find out that I'm pregnant, I go into Project Preemie, and I do 16 months there, right? But meanwhile, I'm not doing the program. I'm just doing what I'm being told. I'm staying sober only because I'm not willing to lose this child too. Because I'm not willing to prove you guys right how I'm going to go back out and get loaded, you know, like, or not you guys, but my counselors, right? So she's going to get loaded. She's going to get loaded, you know? And so my pride and my ego, right? So for the last 5 years, you know, I stayed sober because I was that dry, what do you guys call it? Dry drunk. That dry drink, you know, and I wasn't willing to go back out. The one good thing that, and another reason I didn't want to go back out is because I did make some friends in these rooms, and I didn't want to fail them either, because they helped me. They helped me with my son, and they've always been there for me. So I was like, I'm not, you know, I'm not gonna go back out. I'm not gonna do nothing stupid, but I did. I did do something stupid. I started stealing. Well, that was another addiction that I had. I would steal from stores. And so I went back to jail when my son was 5 weeks old. But like I said, God has always been in my life. And I just wasn't, like, paying attention to it, because my pride was always in the rage. But these people were there for me, and they took care of him while I was in there. And when I got back out, you know, like, I still was miserable, and I've been miserable, and I've been bitter this whole time. And so I thought I lied to myself for all these years, telling myself that I was happy, that I was content, you know, as long as I don't drink, as long as I don't hang out with the wrong people, I'm gonna be okay. I wasn't. I was trying to fill this emptiness with everything outside of me, with things, with men, with everything. Still, it was stuck in my ism. That's what I always hear in this rooms. You know, we talk about the ism. Because you take away the alcohol and everything, I still have myself. Because I'm the problem. And that's what I've learned in these rooms. I'm the problem. And so I need to, and I wasn't getting into the solution. I was too busy pointing fingers when I have three more pointing at me, you know. And so I started coming back to these meetings, you know, because I was chasing a guy here. And then I ended up, you know, getting something way better. I didn't get what I wanted, but I ended up getting something better. I ended up getting a best friend. I ended up getting friendships in these rooms. And I ended up getting to know myself, you know. At first, I kind of wanted to fight it, because I was still looking at you guys different. I saw the glow in everybody's face, and I was like, man, they're just faking it. I still was in denial, you know. There's this part in the book, in the 12 and 12, that says, you know, every normal person wants, for example, to eat, to produce, to be somebody in the society of his fellows, and wishes to be reasonably safe and secure as he tries to attain these things. And that's what I was trying to do, you know what I mean? I was trying to feel and do all these things to be a part of and all this stuff. And all I needed to do was just finally accept my higher power in my life. Find that God. And my God, before these rooms, I came to find out that I had a resentment towards my God. Because I was praying with expectations. I was praying because you guys talked about these promises, right? And I'm over here praying and expecting, okay, God, I'm not drinking. I'm not hanging around with these people anymore. I'm not stealing anymore. I'm staying sober. Where are my kids? Where are my kids? You know? So for the last why I was so bitter for all these years, because here I am thinking that because I'm not doing all these things, I'm going to get my kids back. And so here I am seeing everybody else getting kids back, you know, getting the jobs, getting this and getting that. And I'm like, what the fuck? Where's mine? Where's mine? You know? But no, you know, those steps are teaching me today, you know, that first of all, I had to accept, you know, that it's not going to be my way. Second, you know, like I have, and then I had to realize, you know, that like my higher power is not, I heard somebody say in these rooms, not a genie in a bottle. My God does for me what I can't do for myself. And today I understand that my God also did for my kids what they couldn't do for themselves. So I had to let that go. And I had to let them go, basically. And I had to forgive myself for that, because that's another thing that I had been doing for the longest time, too, because I could not forgive myself for giving up on my kids. I beat myself up. I felt so worthy, and I had the lowest self-esteem for that, you know? But today, I know that my higher power does not want me to be sad, does not want me to be miserable, and I deserve to be happy. I cannot change or undo what I did in the past. I can learn from it today and not repeat it and you know, like, I can have hope that maybe one day they come back and I can be okay if they don't, you know. I had to surrender though to this program first before I realized that. I had to be willing first before anything too, because I wasn't willing to do the work. I just wanted to do those steps and get it over with, but there's more to it than just doing those steps. There's work, there's honesty, there's effort. You know what I mean? It's something that I didn't know how to do, because all I wanted was for things to be easy for me. You know, a lot of my resentments had a lot to do with because things weren't going my way and because I expected this and I expected that. And no, today I understand that things are not going to go my way. I understand that it's going to be in God's time, in God's way. And I know that my God wants me to be happy. And like I said about my kids, you know, it says, it tells me on page, like, 99, you know, where it says that, it says, remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people, it is not dependent upon his relationship with God. And that's what I am working on today, you know, with my relationship with my higher power. When I have that, when I have my full faith and my full trust in my higher power, I have this freedom inside of me. I have this serenity, you know, like that void that I was trying to fill with everything outside of me, it's filled today. It's filled with my higher power. You know, that's what this room taught me. You know, I heard it in these rooms one time. God brought me to these rooms, and these rooms brought me closer to my God. And I truly believe that today, because it has been my experience. And And I remember my sponsor would always talk about the sunlight of the spirit. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I wonder where she got that quote from, right? And then I started reading the book, and I was like, holy moly, it says it plain and clear right there in the book. And then, but then I had to understand that, you know, and basically, you know, it's like me getting out of the way, getting out of God's way to do what he wants, you know. And oh man, like, this program has given me so much. I've been able to move forward in my life, because I was this person in this little box, chained myself, and was, for the longest time, I didn't know I was feeling sorry for myself, you know, because where I came from, you know, growing up, I hung around with the boys. You don't show no emotions. You don't show no fear, no tears. You're going to cry. What? You're a little what? You know, no, you don't show none of that. Because growing up, the girls weren't allowed to play with me because I was too wild. You know, the girls had to be inside way before it got dark, you know. So my mom was always at work, and the babysitter didn't care. So I got to play outside with all the boys. So I got to grow up with the boys. So, you know, and for the longest time when I came to these rooms, I never wanted to show you guys my, you know, like that I was hurt, that I was sad, you know, like me crying, no, you know. But today I get to feel today. I get to share with you and be honest with you guys. I'm all over the place right now, but I am just like, just this different person, like, than what I used to be, you know, like. And one of the main things for me is that I've learned here is that I get to, you know what I mean? I used to always say, why me? Like, why the fudge can't I get free housing like that girl did? Man, she ain't even taking care of her kids. Why can't I get my kids back? That's none of my business. None of my dang business. You know what I mean? And I get to learn that here today, you know. When I start feeling like something's bothering me, or I'm starting getting upset because of anything, you know, I get to see that it's something to do with me. You know, I have to take a step back and start asking myself what's really going on with me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I'm sorry. But, and I know today, you know, that, like, no matter what I am going through, alcohol is not a solution, you know. I know today that was only a temporary relief, because something didn't go my way, because somebody didn't do what I wanted, or because my son didn't listen to me, what, I'm going to go drink over it for what, for a temporary relief? When the problem's still gonna be there the next day or the next moment, you know, like, I can't do that anymore. I can't escape, and I can't escape anymore either. For what? To try to ignore the problem, you know, when I'm the problem? Today I get to work on myself. Today I have friends. Today I have a God that loves me unconditionally. And he shows his love through you guys in these rooms. He shows off to me every day. And I get to see that today. Before, you know, like, I was talking to my sponsors the other day, you know, like, my life was like, you know, I'm opening this book and I'm reading it, but I'm not comprehending. None of it is going in. Why? Because this isn't open. I'm just reading this book and none of it is going in. And the minute I've been able to open this up and get out of the way, everything is starting to make sense to me. And Leo says it all the time, you know, like, the light's on, but nobody's there, you know, that I get that today, you know. And it's like, I get to be there today. And those, and like I said, the minute I was able to finally put in the footwork into those steps and not be afraid of them, because trust me, everybody would make a big deal out of that step four, and I would be like, dude, like, what do you mean? Like, oh yeah, watch out for step four. You better be ready for step four. And I'm like, don't listen to other people when they tell you that. Step four for me has been the most freeing moment for me, because the minute I was able to get honest about things in my life that I did and that, like, I thought other people did to me or anything, you know, the minute I was able to write that down and share it with my sponsor and her call me out on not being fully honest on it and being able to go back and being honest about it, whew, man, don't get me wrong, I started getting mad again, but you know what, I was able to talk to her about it and let her know, and I love my sponsor, man. She questions me, she makes me think, and she makes me she helps me understand, and that's why I picked her for my sponsor, because I knew that, like, she has what I want, you know what I mean? And I hope that you guys can find a sponsor that will make you feel that way, that safeness, you know what I mean? Because that's what a sponsor is for, you know, that one person that you can trust everything with, to be able to work on you, to be able to let that all out, because that's what it was for me, you know, all this stuff that I was holding in and just like weighing me down, and today I've been able to work on that. And I know there's probably still more stuff, but it says, you know, more will be revealed. And every day is a new opportunity for me to grow, for me to do something, to work on myself, to learn. And that's why I come to meetings every day, you know, and I get to hear something. When I pray, you know, I ask God, like, you know, let it always be your will and not mine. Help me understand this, help me understand that. And sometimes I'll be like, I swear, when I talk to my God, it's like a conversation. Like, oh, I wonder why this or that. And like, I don't understand this or that. And I kid you not, I will get an answer at a meeting or with somebody that I will conversate after a meeting or during a breakfast or something. My higher power works in my life today. And I am so grateful that I am present today to be able to receive it, you know what I mean? Because I don't know, I'm just rambling now, and I just wanted to read this part because this is what it is, and I wanted to share something that I heard a speaker say one time. You know, those promises have come true in my life. I don't have my kids today, and it hurts, and it's going to be something, you know, that I have to live with, but it's going to be okay, you know, it's going to be okay, and I'm going to be okay, because this program has taught me to live in spite of that, you know, the happiness, the freedom, the serenity I have that today. And I know my God has my kids, and no matter what, they're taken care of, and I am fully in acceptance in that today. And this program is teaching me to live my life, even if they don't come back to me. You know what I mean? And this is what I wanted to read. So today, I'm much more comfortable with my life. As Alcoholics Anonymous has promised, and I know they're right when they say it keeps getting better. And I work on trying to get better and not stay bitter. My circumstances have steadily improved as my spiritual life grows and matures. I get to be present today. I get to work on myself today. I get to grow today. Every day is a new opportunity. My life isn't perfect, and I don't strive to be perfect, but I have the opportunity to improve something about myself every day. Words cannot begin to describe the feelings in my heart as I sometimes ponder how much my life has changed, how far I've come, and how much there is yet to discover. I thought I was going to be miserable for all my life, and today I get to be happy. I'm not always happy, but I know that I can start my days over again, or my moment, my hour. It's all on choices. It's in me to start over. And though I'm not sure where my journey may take me next, I know I owe it to the grace of God and to three words of the 12 steps: continue, improve, and practice. Oh, and one more thing they told me: humility is the key. The minute I get out of myself and I allow God to work in my life, there's no stopping. There's no stopping, you know. And I'm grateful for this program. And I know it'll get better no matter how bad it'll get. My friend, he always says, if these promises weren't promised to you, would you still do it? And I used to always wonder why he would always say yes. And I get it now why he says yes. Because now that I'm doing the footwork, now that I'm putting in the effort, I will still do it because I know life gets better. I just have to be willing to do it. It's in me to do it, and my surrender and my higher power, allowing him to work in my life, there's no stopping it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Speakers will be available.